Yeah, beautiful, beautiful tune. Rains of April, a real New York song, and yeah, just gorgeous stuff. And before that, Dear to Me, from the new album from Yes, Gabriel, a Brooklyn-based singer, songwriter, and as we shall learn, quite a composer. And we have Gabby Alter with us right now on the phone. Hi, how are you?
Yes.
Great to have you on the air. And we just listened to Dear to Me and Rains of April. And the EP is like stunning. It's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome very much. And it's let's first of all, the territory you're, well, the exquisiteness of the production and writing, which we'll get into shortly, is amazing. But you come from a background that we only occasionally delve into on my show, and that's a show background. And tell us a little about your fascinating, I think, history of where you were before all of this, and where you still are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a weird, I took kind of a weird route into musical theater specifically, but because originally I was writing, during college, I would write these rock musicals with friends of mine in Berkeley, California. Mm-hmm. And so, in a way, like, we were not really trying to do musicals like the way, like, Broadway musicals. We were trying to do more like rock, kind of rock aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a way, you know, I was always really into just pop music and different forms of popular music. But then about 15 years ago, I came to New York and I started trying to do musicals here. And so I actually got more into, like, you know, how in traditional musicals, you know, it's like there's a person singing really specific details about something, which is not something I did as much then. And sort of the idea of, like, character arcs, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after doing that for about a decade, I was like, you know, I really want to do something that's not theater. And so I kind of came back to the idea of just doing a pop album, and that, but it ended up being really informed by what I did in New York in musical theater, because I was thinking a lot about specific details and story as opposed to just kind of abstractions.
Right, yeah. And that comes across very much. It is the pieces, the songs I've been listening to are certainly arcs, and they are beautiful pieces that stand alone. And any of them could really be dropped into, I don't know, a musical, maybe a musical about your life or someone else's life. But and they are very beautifully structured and really gorgeously written. And it's art and craft, you know. It's beautiful. You've done a great job.
Thank you. Well, yeah, and you know, a lot of that, it really was because, at least the way I work on musicals, you know, I went to NYU. Actually, there's a program there you may know about for musical theater writing, and mm-hmm. a lot of what they stress is the idea of, like, how does the song express character, or, you know, basically what happens to the character during the song. So I think in every one of these songs, it was like, well, one of them I actually wrote there, but Deep in February, but the other ones, too, it was sort of like, how do you, you know, how does the character move through the song? Like, what thoughts are they having? And so, yes, I think I kind of ended up applying to what I was doing.
Yeah, and I think that's what you just pointed out before, which is the difference between the abstractions of standard pop songwriting and the arc of character development. And yeah, and it really does show, and it's yeah. I'm not just trying to throw compliments to you. I'm just impressed.
No, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm glad somebody appreciates what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Because my worry about the album has been that it sort of falls between two benches, right? Like, it's not musical theater for sure, but it's like not like something you can just kind of imprint your own experience on completely because it's so specific.
Well, on the other hand, it is very open. You do have that quality too, but even though you're carrying the arc of it, but I mean, people can relate to everything you're singing about. You know, I mean, as I said, right. We just listened to Rains of April, and you're dealing with lines that I think everyone can tap into, you know.
Certainly people that cross from Brooklyn to Manhattan and back and forth.
People can see the bridge, and then they're okay, yeah. And they're going to like it. That's right.
yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So you are Brooklyn-based currently, and how long have you been in Brooklyn?
It's going to be 16 years this summer, so I guess that makes me totally a Brooklynite.
That's right. You passed the test. I was born in Brooklyn, but I'll accept you. You know, it's all
okay,
good.
Thank you.
That's good.
Where were you born in Brooklyn?
I was born in Flatbush, my friend.
Oh, right on. Well, I live in Demis Park, which used to be called Flatbush.
That's right.
So
I also used to live in Liberty Heights, which used to be called Red Hook. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was Red Hook when I was there.
Right.
They keep trying to rebrand, and it's the beauty of the real estate industry, I think. And
that's right.
But yeah, so you moved to Brooklyn pretty much when you first came here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like Manhattan was not going to be a place I wanted to live. Just it was too, like, the energy for me coming from a smaller city in California was too frenetic, and I wanted to be near the park too, and I think that actually in one of the songs, you know, the trees on the edge of the park, it's like I kind of use it as like a homing device for myself to just keep myself grounded. But I moved. It was kind of interesting. I moved here and I did a musical. My friend Damien, who's actually a rapper called MC Frontalot, who has some notoriety, he moved a year later and we had written this show called Young Zombies in Love. Like, we were kind of at the, you know, at the front end of the zombie craze in 2003 or whatever. And so we put that on at the Fringe Festival and people loved it there. You know, it's like a great show for, like, you know, you're drunk, you pay $15 and go downstairs to some, you know what I mean? Like, it was really fun. People loved it. And there were some great, really talented people there who have, like, gone on to have kind of, you know, cool show business careers. I forget Erica's last name, but she's, like, and that's the Real House Husbands of Hollywood with Kevin.
Okay.
What's his name? Anyway, so, yeah, so really, really all the people in that were super talented and they're doing cool things. And but then I kind of settled into that show didn't go anywhere, and then Damien's rap career took off, and I kind of settled into doing musical theater.
And that's what you've been doing, pretty much. And let's talk about some of your outstanding musical theater credits. Can we discuss some of that stuff, with things you've won awards for?
Sure. Well, I mean, I got a Jonathan Larson grant, the guy who wrote Rent. His family has this grant, which is great for emerging theater writers and musical theater writers. So I got that. That was just actually, I submitted some songs, and one of them was Deep in February. That was like an early batch that I wrote during school, and that song, I sort of felt like it's not just a it's sort of a pop song and a theater song, and which is why I re-recorded it. We won any awards for Band Geeks, but we did this marching band musical that was sort of like Glee. Like, we wrote it, and then a year as we were writing it, Glee came out, and we were like, my God, this is like the show choir version of our show. Weird. So we were kind of like a little bit ahead, but not quite ahead enough of our time. But actually, a lot of high schools like doing that. They still do that show, especially in the South and sort of more rural areas. I think because people have marching bands, they can totally relate to it.
And then
I wrote this show at the same time called Nobody Loves You, which my friend Itamar Moses, who I grew up with in Berkeley, is a really fantastic playwright and screenwriter, and he wrote this comedy. He wrote the comedy basically, but I wrote the songs with him, and about a reality show and a philosophy grad student who goes on a reality show, basically to get back at his ex, but also to undermine the entire idea of the reality show, which is just like finding your love connection. It's like The Bachelor, and he sort of tries to subvert it as a contestant, but then he ends up falling in love with one of the producer's assistant who also hates the show. So they're sort of like bonding with each other for their hatred of the show. Anyway, it's really funny. And this is like sort of how Itamar's like brain works. And we did it off Broadway at Second Stage, which is like this, you know, one of the off Broadway houses that people go to. And it was great. We're trying to bring it back now, actually, many years later, since it's played. But we 'cause I think ultimately, anyway, it didn't sort of make the jump to Broadway, but a lot of shows don't. You know what I mean?
Of
like
course.
You need to have. It's so expensive to do that that you need a lot of investors to be like, yes, we're ready to lose this money, and we or whatever. You know, we think we're not going to lose this money. I guess so. So it didn't quite get there, but people really liked it, and we think it deserves another chance. I mean, it's definitely a really fun show, and Edomar's completely hilarious. He just won a book writing award for The Band's Visit last year, which is a fantastic musical on Broadway. So okay. He did make it to Broadway eventually. But yeah, so those are kind of my notable things, I guess.
And I have to tell you that all of your work, and I was watching some of it on, you know, clips of different things that are on YouTube and stuff like that. You seem to be having musically a great time, you know. It's
yeah,
you have a lot of fun composing, and you bring a lot of that fun across. Do you have? Is it fun to write stuff that's fun? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's sort of a combination of hard and fun because, like, for instance, Nobody Loves You, it would be a lot of the song writing those songs was kind of fun, but there was also this aspect of pressure, and particularly when you're doing an industry reading or something, you want people to get behind your show. So there's kind of a terror to it, or it's hard and it's fun. And I guess I appreciate what you're saying. Thank you, because I do think that the stuff that stays, you know, the stuff that really works, is something where you are having fun. And I really like to play with different styles when I'm writing theater, and especially comedy theater. It's you just can kind of have a good time. And yeah, I think it's if you let the good time happen, then you have a great piece. But sometimes it's hard because you're like, oh, I got to write a funny song. And actually, that's not really fun. So you have to just sort of trick yourself into the right frame of mind. It also helped, with Nobody Loves You, Edomar is very funny and almost never actually runs out of ideas. So we would sometimes sit in the same room and just, write stuff, you know, write different ideas. And he'd be like, oh, that's funny. And he'd come up with great stuff and kind of feed off each other. So I think that can be really fun. That's kind of like finishing a crossword with somebody. It's really exciting. Mm.
And not just funny for funny, but also funny as in character development, which you're doing all the time. And that's an amazing skill, because you're tied in with this great kind of portraiture of characters, and that's a whole different aspect than just writing something simply that's funny, and you're pulling it off. And it's the stuff I was watching on there was just absolutely great on YouTube and stuff like that from your theater stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've had a lot of good collaborators, and I think that kind of stuff, it's when it's good, you know, it's like when I was at NYU, you know, you had really, really smart people telling you, this works, this doesn't work, so you kind of... You just become aware of it. Or, you know, when you're doing a production, it's you really have to think, well, this is going to be shown to people. You really have to, you know, make sure that the screws are tightened. So I think that's probably, that's what I have to say about that. But thank you. I'm glad that it's working for you.
It's not just a little game, quote unquote, for yourself. It's a thing that is going to be presented in front of ideally lots of people. And that's, it keeps you sharp. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So let's, first of all, we're talking to Gabby Alter of Yes Gabriel right here on WUSB Stony Brook at 7:30 in the PM. Of course, this entire interview will be up on the podcast as always on Friday, by Friday, probably tomorrow, but by Friday. And we'll see when I get to it. But and we're talking about this really cool new EP just called Yes Gabriel, and let's talk a little about the impetus, first of all, for this, if you don't mind, about this particular EP and these songs being put together this way.
Okay, great. So this by the way, my name is actually pronounced Gabi, which nobody would know. No, thank you, but it's okay, because I don't know how you would read the name Gaby as Gabi. It just doesn't. You know what I mean?
I've been saying Gabby. Gabby is just good.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Thank you. But sure, no problem. So the impetus for this album was really that I had always wanted to make an album, and I about 10 years ago, meaning from now, I went into like a couple of studios and I did studio recordings of some songs, and I liked how that came out, but I never made an album. But it was always like, well, I always wanted to, you know, make something where, like, all of the music I grew up with, and I think a lot of people, you know, it's like you heard it on the radio, you heard it, I guess now people hear it, you know, online, but at the time for me it was like CDs and tapes and stuff, and so, you know, I wanted something where you would just have that kind of intimate relationship with the music itself and the production and the arrangement, and not because I had written for musical theater so long, and it's like I really was more oriented towards, oh, like you have to create something that works in a story, like in front of an audience, and that's not always the same thing that would work, you know, sitting listening in your headphones. So I think that was part of the impetus, and then, you know, I had this relationship about 10 years ago that we broke up. I broke it off, but I couldn't sort of break it off in my head, and it kind of went around in my head for a long time. So in a way, like I was working out my issues. It's a really great person, but it didn't really work, but I kind of also couldn't let go of it. And so I guess that, you know, that's the emotional impetus. Hopefully that just appears on the album as is, but I ended up trying to write a lot of songs about that experience. And I really feel like there were only four that really, you know, sort of stood up. And those were the ones that are not deep in February.
Right.
So, and each of those songs, it was sort of like, I'm trying to sort of go over some of the, it's like sort of what happened in that relationship and what is my relationship to what happened. And I guess as I was doing that also, I was thinking, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together arrangements like in Logic, like this program on my computer, and then I'll take it to a studio and I can do it up properly. But I realized as I was doing maybe the second song, Dear to Me, I think I was doing an arrangement of Dear to Me, and it was like, you know what, like, this actually is fine. I think I played it for my brother, and he was like, you know, this sounds actually really good. And I was like, you know, maybe part of what's going on is that I have, like, the luxury to really work out these arrangements not under the gun of the studio clock, and so I could really sit with stuff for months. I could also, you know, in the case of a couple of songs, I mean, Dear to Me, there were, like, a number of false starts where I kept trying to record it and couldn't play it right, or I'd try to get my friend to play it on guitar and he would play it wrong. Mm-hmm. I eventually just sort of figured out, like, okay, this is how to approach it. And I, in the end, really, like, all the songs had that sort of quality of, like, I would start demoing them, but then ultimately that would become either the seed for the actual arrangement, or I would, like, do several attempts. And at some point, it was like, oh, you know, these actually sound good together, and they sound good enough that it's not like a rock record. It's a folk record. So I don't have to worry about going to the studio to record drums, or, like, I did go to the studio to record strings one day on Fall Asleep. But other than that, you know, it was like, I actually just like having it just be me in my living room and figuring things out there. Yeah, and I think the other thing that allowed for me was to be able to sing, you know, just do takes. And then I did takes in like a few different keys for some, at least for Deep in February, but just to figure that out and then to sort of pick the best take, you know, it was like, I feel like in a studio I would have been very self-conscious and I had less of that at home.
You also didn't have the freedom that you would have had in a studio because the freedom you didn't wouldn't have had in a studio because at home you could experiment.
Yeah, exactly. I had a lot of freedom. And I think there was something to in this particular project, but I think in the past I'd always like, you know, I work in musical theater. I like it because I work with other people. So there was a lot of other people's like ideas in my head when I'm working on a musical, you know, like whoever, you know, it's like some of them are mine, but then like the singers will add ideas and whatever. So it's sort of like I just had to do this just on my own, you know, and I would bounce it off of friends and family and stuff, but so there was something about that of sort of like I didn't want, like, this project I could have had a producer and they might have done a great job, but I kind of liked having to do everything myself.
Well, I have to tell you that obviously your experience prior to this has really paid off because your ear is outstanding and you...
Thank you.
Yeah, you really nailed a whole bunch of stuff. Sounds, just the right amounts of reverb and things on a whole bunch of effects. It's really nicely done. It's really nice.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was just going to say, last thing is that, I mean, it is also really like, I did play it for people I trusted, you know, so they would tell me when I was veering off course, but... You know, they'd be
which
like,
is good to have.
Exactly. It's good to have that. But then also, like, it really is like those are time-tested mixes. I mean, or arrangements, I should say. Like, I sat with them for most of them for months, in some case for like a couple of years. So it's really like I know that I'm stand behind them. Sort of like just you know that your product is something that you believe in, and I know that right. Unlike in the past, I was kind of like, if something doesn't sound good 6 months later, like, then I'm going to change it. So I did.
Right. And that's actually a difficult thing for a lot of people to do, to let go of something that's not working as well. That's a hard mindset to be in sometimes, right?
It is, absolutely. And I think being in musical theater helped with this album, because in musicals, you will write entire songs that are just, you know, like what you consider to be great. Like, you want other people to hear the song, and you will just cut it because it doesn't fit in the narrative anymore. So
right.
I've had a lot of experiences of doing that, you know, like writing something that people are like, that's a great song. And I was like, yeah. And then nobody ever gets to hear it, you know? So,
right. Well, it's like you have the experience of hearing all those voices in your head too, essentially, right? Where everyone is saying, well, yeah, but this doesn't work with the narrative, or this does, or whatever the case is. So you're like, it becomes ingrained in you to look at things like that too.
Yep.
To a degree, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So mainly almost everything on this recording is you.
Yeah, I mean, I should say it's like mainly everything is me, except Fall Asleep is pretty much just my friend Sean McArdle playing really beautiful, two really beautiful guitar parts that he came up with. So he was really the arranger on that. But then I came up with the... I guess like the percussion, and I wrote a string quartet arrangement around that. And then my friend Alec Berlin, who is the guitarist for the Broadway musical Come From Away, he's really a great guitarist. He did electric guitar parts on a couple of songs, and really did, you know, sort of played in a way that I couldn't play. And I kind of just directed him.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, to bring some other voices in to make individual songs stand out in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. But it definitely was like interesting to be like, okay, I guess I'm going to play everything, including all these acoustic guitar parts, which meant I actually had to learn how to finger pick, which is something I didn't know how to do. Like, it was just, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, so you're up to game while you were working on the album. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. I did up my game a little bit, at least. I mean, I'm not a really good acoustic guitar player still, but now I'm not as, like, before I was like, I don't know, I can play, like, folk chords, but now I'm like, okay, I can play a basic pick.
Well, the main thing for guitar players, and being one myself, obviously, is that, and as pretty much three quarters of the people we're talking to, is right. that, you know, you bring your skill level up to where you need it to be, you know.
Yeah,
so it's like
totally.
Just enough to do what you got to do. So it's an important
exactly.
thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
So let me ask you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So has your ex heard this material?
You know, I don't know. I mean, she's a really great person. I feel badly about some of the things that happened. I don't know, and I'm not in touch with her. I assume she's happily, you know,
moved
in a
on.
New relationship,
right.
and she definitely moved on happily with somebody. And you know, I hope she would get to hear it at some point. But I feel like in the end, it's like you're kind of making it for yourself, because whether or not the person ever hears it, it's kind of more like you had to say it to the universe, and, you know, just kind of leave it at that.
Yeah,
it's type of venting, I guess, but it's also like, you know, does she, I don't know, like, if it's the kind of thing that you want to hear the other person's, you know, it's like, this is also way long ago, so
right.
it's like, you know, I don't know her relationship to it, but anyway, I definitely think she's great and wish her well, and this is more about me just processing what I had to process, so you know, it's There it is.
Yeah, right. And it's gorgeous and it's beautiful, and it may be very close to you where you see everything in it that you're trying to express, but it does have, even though it's got the arcs and the characters, it still mm-hmm. has a certain abstraction that people can relate to who haven't necessarily been through your specifics, you know? And
oh, good.
And it's really well crafted. It's a really, really nice nice record. Now let's talk briefly about is there a live band to support this?
There is, yes. So yeah, that's Yes Gabriel, the band, I guess. And we're mm-hmm. We play intermittently in New York, because, well, partly you can't play too much in New York, or I can't, because, you know, we're not a big band, but we have a couple of members from the band Wheatus in my band mm-hmm. who are
sure.
You know, Wheatus, remember?
Yes, of course.
I mean, you know, they're still very active and touring and stuff and putting out new material. But so they're on tour a bunch. So I do not see Matt and Joey as much. But I think we'll do something in June or July when they're back. And I keep saying that I will, and I think I will at some point do more solo stuff. It's just like I really like playing with other people. Mm. So I'm more comfortable doing that, but, you know, and I don't want to be like, but I would be basically like the guy with a piano, but maybe or a guitar and a piano, but maybe I could, I don't know. I'm just sort of just thinking about ways to do that in a way that would make it fun for me and feel a little less like, you know, here you are at the coffee shop with me
right,
and
right,
my
right.
sad music. That's why I put a lot of work into the arrangements, right? Because I wanted it to be something bigger than that, and
yeah.
really, and something where your ear was kind of surprised and by different elements. And so, you know, it's hard to do that when it's just you.
Yeah, right. Of
course, that's the challenge. But
well, you can finger pick and then you can strum, so you're all good.
That's it. There's the yeah. There you go. Strums off.
so now the album officially drops on April 19th, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It'll be up in some places. I actually have to check with Spotify now to make sure that okay. time frame is realistic, but I think so. Anyway.
Okay, and where can people, so people can obviously hear it on Spotify, people will be able to hear it on all the streaming services and pick it up, the digital version. They can go to your site too, right?
Yeah, they can go to my site. You can email me at yesgabrielmusic@gmail.com and just ask for, like, I have maybe, like, I don't know, 80 CDs or something, and I will mail you a CD if you Venmo me. But it'll be on Bandcamp, and I think, you know, right now people can listen to Dear to Me and
right.
And the other one was Deep in February are both have videos.
Right.
So they can definitely go online and go to YouTube and watch those.
Yeah. And the Bandcamp is Yes Gabriel, or the Bandcamp is you?
The Bandcamp is Yes Gabriel. I'm sort of trying to be like, you know, Gabi Alter is the theater person, and Yes right. Gabriel is my.
Do you find that many people do this, and do you find mm-hmm. the alter ego thing is kind of freeing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I wanted to come up with the name. I didn't know if it was like an alter ego or a project
right.
or what. But
right.
yeah, just something where it was like, I do find it, I mean, it's freeing. It is definitely freeing in the sense of like, oh, cool, like I get to do something that's totally different. But it's also like, I feel like, yes, Gabriel, I'm still in the process of figuring out, you know, what are the borders of Yes Gabriel. Because mm-hmm. I feel like, I also don't want it to be so eclectic that people are like, oh, this is just Gabi Alter doing a bunch of different
right.
styles.
Right.
Like, in a way, that's more what musical theater is for me. And I want this to be more like, this has some kind of sound or voice. But I don't want it to be too limited. So it's kind of just a question.
Yeah, the concept here is that it's this alter ego is, or whatever you want to call it, is essentially like the real you, as opposed to your craft, which is musical theater, you know?
Yeah, definitely taken from my own life, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And right. and it's yeah. And it's well anyway, it's quite a beautiful thing, and we want to watch Thank for you. This on April 19th to drop, and we want to check out Yes Gabriel, which is spelled and just like it sounds. So it's YESGABRIEL. And you can just do a search on that, and you will find it, especially if you type in the word Bandcamp with it, you'll be there. And you can also check out the actual website, and there's links everywhere for that, too. And it's remarkable work, and I think that before you play you know, full gigs in New York again, you're going to want to be on the show again, so you want to be in touch with me, and we can promote, and I'll definitely be there myself, and we'll bring lots of people down, so it's it's beautiful stuff. So, yeah. So, Gabi Alter, it's been a pleasure speaking with you on WUSB Stony Brook on Finn's Revolution. And this will be broadcast by this Friday. And I will send Gabi a link as well. So you guys who are his fans can also tap into that link and hear this interview at your leisure. And hear some songs, too. And Gabi, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And best of luck with everything with the Yes Gabriel. And congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you.
You got it, man. See ya.
All right. Take care.
I was in a fortress in the heart of Antarctica, underneath a glacier. I made sure nobody ever saw, but somehow you found me. I don't know how, but you tracked me down. You put your arms around me. You pulled me up from underground.